Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. If you heard the last half hour of yesterday's programme, you would have heard a lot of organisers of pantomimes in particular deeply upset that 5 million of much needed taxpayers' money, it's a grant from the Department of Arts, to live performances. Pantos, with two exceptions, were effectively left out. The Gaiety panto has been suspended. That's gone for a year. That was the Little Mermaid, as far as I know. That's gone under for till November 2021. The Olympia were looking for 600,000 for their panto, which has been going on for years with people like Jedward and Al Forn, special guesting, great reputation. They say their panto cannot go ahead. They were awarded half. Now, the Limerick panto in University of Limerick, in the hall there, it's more than a hall, it's an incredible venue, they looked for 470,000. They were given 400,000, so they are going ahead. But it looks like the only major panto in the country this year will be in Limerick, because the Gaiety is gone in Dublin. Yesterday we were told the Olympia is gone. The Cheerios panto, that's Alan Hughes and Carl Broderick and Buffy, going on now for, 23 years. They didn't get a red cent, so they're gone. They were going to be on the RDS this year. They're gone, they say. And now I mentioned that the Helix got 60,000. Paul Byrom has been on in the Helix for a number of years now in the panto. Paul the singer, you know him indeed from Christmas Eve on the radio show. Paul, what's happening with the Helix panto? You're involved with that. How much did you get?
Well, from what I gather, we got 60,000. Now, so it's important to state, Joe, thanks a million for having me on and for indeed covering this, because I think the arts has needed to be covered through this pandemic and the struggles of the arts. So I have to tip my hat to you, as always, for covering this issue. But the Helix has got 60,000. Now, I personally am not involved. I didn't apply for any funding, so okay. There's no sour grapes on my behalf. I don't necessarily have a dog in the fight. I was an employed performer by the Helix. But, you know, I suppose when you look at 60,000, I think the main issue with yesterday, and I listened to the show with great interest, and it's important to state also from the get-go, anybody in the arts is delighted to get funding. We're all very grateful for this. This is 5 million of, as you said, taxpayers' money, where, you know, it could be given to any worthy cause at the moment. So I think the general consensus is we're delighted to be getting any funding. That is imperative to say that.
Yeah.
But it's just not realistic with what happened with regards to it. Now, there was a little bit of bickering and all that. It's also important to state that the panto community, and it is a community, they all get on great. There is no rivalry. There's no fight.
Well, there was a bit of upset yesterday. At some of the venues that got a lot of money.
Yeah, and look,
that seemed to be like the INEC in the Glen Eagle Hotel in Killarney, which is an extraordinarily popular hotel, has been over the years with live performances in their convention centre there, the National Centre they call it. They've got 400,000. Can they not fall back on their savings or their profits?
This is where my issue lies, Joe. This is where my issue lies. So you've got a number of venues on that list. There's a number of bars and hotels there that I don't understand how they got funding or what their funding is going for, because I know as a performer, as a singer myself, as a recording artist that goes out and does concerts in some of these venues, I know that when I go in, I've often got to do, the deal is often a case where you have to give a percentage of your ticket to the venue. You literally get the room. You have to bring in the staging, you have to bring in the lighting, the sound, you've got to bring in everything. That's all out of your pocket. And then the venue gets there, the bar is running at the back of the room or whatever else.
And the car park, if the car park is
and they're selling their hotel rooms and whatever else. And so it baffles me that the INEC would be charging 400,000 or would be given 400,000. I mean, there's Langton's Hotel there in Kilkenny that got a nice same amount of money pretty much as what the Helix panto gets in
Dublin. Langton's, which is, it says, from it's a beautiful pub, and I didn't know it was a hotel as well, but it says it's a hotel. They got 60k. The Helix Panto got 60k. O'Connor's Public House in Kerry. I don't know what part. There must be 100 O'Connor's Public House in Kerry. But anyway, they got
there's public houses on this, Joe.
They got 40,000.
Yeah. At the end of the day, my point is, it has to be money for the arts should go to the arts and people in the arts. Now, you cannot tell me that hotels and pubs are dependent on the arts, whereas the arts are dependent on the arts. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Like, yeah,
and it's a major gripe. I saw that list yesterday. I got to say to you, Joe, who was on the panel that made these decisions for the money? I looked up our minister, and God love her. I mean, she's got a number of things under her portfolio to deal with. So, you know, I tip my hat to her because she's arts, tourism, the Gaeltacht, yeah, the whole
and
shebang.
The media. And she's very competent. I'm sure she's a brilliant team in there
as well. But she has no background as a professional performer or anybody in or being in the arts. She has taught music. I'm not taking that from her. She understands music, I'm sure. But you turn around to the Helix and say, put on a panto for 60 grand.
Okay, well, Claire Toy is the producer. And you're behind the Helix panto. Helix in DCU on the north side of Dublin. Claire, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
At 60k, can the Helix panto go ahead?
So Theatre Works Productions was actually awarded the 60,000 to produce the Helix panto. And like what Paul says, I think the government tried to reach out to our sector, and in essence they have done that, and it's very welcome. But there just seems to be a lack of understanding as to what our sector needs and the difference between producers of theatre and live music venues. Like, we take a risk from the very time that we decide to produce on the promise that we'd have box office revenue, which will cover the costs. This year's grant, I believe, was to help producers or venues or promoters to provide employment to creatives and to de-risk the process of producing, so people like me would be able to start on the road and take away the risk of the production being curtailed, cancelled or postponed. So that should.
So would you stutter when you hear that pubs have got money?
Well, my problem there is that the amount of money they've got does not show the element of risk that they take. So, we're taking risk from the outset of when we decide to produce a show. It's months in advance. A pub or a hotel can book an act a day before and or the day of, and it'll work. And I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Well, you're saying you do a production. You set up a production. You start. As Alan Hughes was saying yesterday, they could start, I don't know if they're much of a done, but they could start rehearsing now. And that's what you have to do.
But there's before that. Like, we're planning, like, all year round, we would be planning for Panto. And that would be,
months
you know,
prep,
creatives
yeah.
and all sets, costumes, that would all be going through. So my understanding of this grant would have been, you know, that it would take the element of the reliance of the box office out of it, because the reality is that we may not get to have the show on the stage, but the funding was to allow us to engage.
Okay,
with
so I need I just I what I'm trying to find out today is, given the history of pantomime in Ireland over 140 years, I think 150 coming up to the panto and the Gaiety, and the Gaiety that's not on this year. Is there, and there's a history there in Ireland of pantomime that doesn't exist in any other country apart from the UK, England, Scotland and Wales. It's unique to these jurisdictions. It's unique. Every child in the country hopefully is lucky enough to get to a panto or get to a circus or whatever. But the government have decided, and I know the economy has been completely demolished by the government restrictions. Completely 330,000 people this week on the PUP, the COVID payment. 330,000. That's just unbelievable. Mm. That's 330,000 families. It's unbelievable the devastation that the restrictions have caused on the economy. And I don't know whether there's a full appreciation of that. Can the Helix panto go ahead after you got, 18% of what you need to put on the panto?
Well, you see, as I was saying to you, what as a producer, you're relying on box office so that you're not in debt. If I take this 60,000, it's going to cost me an awful lot much, a lot more than 60,000 in pre-production. So I have to reach into my, we applied for 245,000 and we got 60,000. 245,000, that's us scrimping and saving, and Michael Brady from the Helix has really helped us figure a way to make it a socially distant panto and remodel everything. For us to go into pre-production and, you know, build the sets, get the costumes, all the rest, it's cost more than 60,000. So I'm exposed by that personally. And if we don't get to a box office scenario, I'm scuppered. And, you know, the company folds and we're not here next year.
A good point. Whereas if the venues like the INEC and various pubs that have got grants, they can, touch wood, the restrictions will lift earlier than we all know at this stage. But as soon as their restriction lift, that venue is still in existence and they can start clawing back. Whereas a panto goes into a venue and is gone in the middle to the end of January. Yeah. It has a limited life.
I take that point.
Okay. I want to go nationwide now. I want to go to Pat Jennings, 1857-15-815, joe@rt.ie, 51551, wash your hands. Pat Jennings, the government have washed their hands of the Royal Theatre in Castlebar, one of the most famous theatres in the country, seats 2,000 people, used to host the internationally famous Castlebar International Song Contest, and it's a great venue down there in Castlebar. Pat, what's happened? What much did you apply for?
I applied for 348,000, Joe.
And what did you want that money for?
For a series of shows that we planned over the coming months.
What type of shows?
Well, all types of shows, comedy, live, entertainment, music, everything.
And how many people do you employ?
We employ 55 people.
Wow. And then when the gig is on, is there part-timers come in to do...
Bars, or whatever. All the attendant, like the sound, lighting, everything else comes into running a show, as you know.
So how much did you get?
Zero.
Oh, zero?
Zero.
Oh, sorry, I'm misreading your call here. I thought you got... you didn't get a penny?
No.
Were you told why?
No. I don't know just yet, but it's early days, yes.
And what about, did other similar venues, is there any other similar venue with 2,000, apart from Borgosh, is there any other similar venue with a capacity of 2,000, which would allow, I know it's a risk again.
Well, the only other similar venue is the Gleneagle in Killarney, and I'm not taking away from them. Because
they got a lot of money.
Yeah, well, that's a good look.
They got 400K for a number. Would this have fitted your criteria, a number of live performances?
Yes, similar shows.
Well, that's what the Gleneagle got. They got 400K for a number of live performances.
That's right.
Sorry, Joe, can I ask a question there? Sorry to interject, but there's a huge amount of money, as you just said, gone to the INEC, and indeed you're looking for money there as well, Pat, for your venue. And it's imperative to keep these venues alive and kicking. That's the heartbeat of our country, of our culture. You know, it's imperative to say that. However, what I find hard to kind of get my head around, and maybe I'm not reading it or understanding it correctly, but if you're a professional performer, singer, if you're going to put a concert on and I go into your venue, Pat, like my revenue, what I walk away with as the singer off the stage, is based on how many ticket sales I make. I'm not getting a portion of anything that you've got in your pot. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just saying normally for my situation, when I go into a theatre, the money I go home with in my pocket after paying, and I normally have to pay the lighting guy and the sound guy, and I have to pay, you know, for setup and all that. That's a norm. The singer, the person going in, the act has to cover that cost. And often the deal will be a percentage to the venue. So I'm trying to get my head around where the money is actually going when it goes to the venues. Aside from paying, obviously, Pat, I'm not taking away from the fact that you've wages to pay for people. Mm. But as a performer, my ticket sale is divvied up. So if I have €20 of a ticket sale, I'm paying a percentage of that to the sound guy.
The
musicians playing behind me.
Pat, when you applied for the money, did you have to break down what you would be spending the money on?
Yes.
And what way did work?
Well, the various costs in running the venue, obviously is substantial with a venue that size. Like, for instance, our rates are over 90,000 a year before you start.
Wow.
And that's something that performers usually do not take into consideration. Then insurance is another 100,000.
Well, insurance, sorry, Pat. Now, insurance, when I go to do venues again around Ireland, I've got to have my own insurance going in the door.
Well, some do and some don't, but we have
majority, let's not mislead the people either. Like, the performers going into a lot of venues in Ireland whether they be the small, tiny little ones that only have 200 or 300, up to the likes of yourself who have 2,000. A lot of the time, it's all put on the performer. And that's fact, Pat.
Well, not necessarily. I think there's a risk for every promoter putting on any show in Ireland.
Well, I'm not saying there's not a risk, but often when an artist like myself goes in with a band or whoever it is goes in with a band, they take an awful lot of the risk, and even when it comes to promotion, getting posters, you've got to deliver the posters down to the venue. Like, that's just going, and I'm talking about my experiences, and I know from a number of people that are in the game, that are high up in the game, having to do the same, having to supply their own posters, having to do their own promotion. There's very little brought to the table from the venue, aside from actually the venue itself.
Okay, Simon, I'll come to Simon in a sec. Emma Cleary from Party House Promotions of Cleary Media. Your point, please, Emma.
How you doing, Joe? Basically, I was never informed. I was never informed of any of the forms that came across, even to get this kind of money. So we were never informed. Any of us kind of mid-level, low-level promoters. I'm part of quite a number of the lobby groups on LinkedIn and social media, and we weren't even aware that we could fill out these forms. Now we would have 2,000, 3,000 people passing through my gates a week last year.
And where are your gates, Emmett?
So O'Reilly's Bar on Tara Street, Dublin 2.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would have run about 3 club nights a week and anything from student nights to just a regular night.
And that's gone at them. Well, the whole country is gone.
And we were one of the first bars to close since March, and we've had nothing. You know, we tried to get on board with these lobby groups, but that's about 30 staff out of work from the nightclub point of view to the bar point of view.
So sorry, that nightclub and the bar point of view, again, I'm not looking to go against bars and nightclubs because I've spent enough time over the years in them and I continue to do so. But I don't think you guys should be in this category. There's got to be another area for you guys.
Well,
this 5 million is supposed to be for the art.
Where I'm speaking from is a third party point of view. I'm a promoter hired by the bar. I bring in the people.
Okay, you're saying
I have my own organisation. So I have my own organisation, but on behalf of that bar, so we create the nightlife within that bar.
Just let me add, Pat Jennings, did Mayo County Council or Castlebar UDC, did they waive rates this year?
Yes.
They waived them, okay.
In fairness to them.
And what about insurance companies? Does insurance companies say, given that you're not open?
Well, we still have to, according to the law and our licence for the local DJ, local district justice, we have to have insurance produced for the 1st of October, even though we're not allowed to run. Like, we have to have a dance.
But you said
you
say your insurance could cost up to €100,000.
Yes.
But why do you need insurance? This is for public liability and all that carry on.
Yeah.
Why do you need insurance for a venue that doesn't let people in?
Is
instructed not to let people in by the government.
Exactly. But like nobody in the meantime is telling us what to do insofar as the district justice insists on having insurance produced every September.
Well, I just wonder, the people who are making these decisions know how deep down into society these cuts are, how catastrophic they are for people.
Joe, that's my point. I'm wondering who is on the panel making these decisions. Like, there doesn't seem to be the likes of Pat on these panels, who should be on the panels, and Claire should be on the panel, talking about the cost of putting on a panto, turning around and giving 60 grand to the Helix and saying put on a panto, or turning around to wherever and giving 300,000 to the Olympia saying put on. How do you differentiate between the Olympias getting 2 weeks? Normally their run is 2 weeks, 300,000, whereas the Helix is 10 weeks, and that's 60,000. The cost that Pat is outlining there don't seem to be taken into consideration by the people that are divvying out these funds. It strikes me as mind-blowing.
Yeah, we've had a statement in from the Department of Culture, Heritage, Gaeltacht Media, Tourism, whatever else it's under.
Well, sport is in there as well.
Sport in there.
Well, I think, Joe, it is worthy to mention that this funding is very welcome to the live performance. We haven't got it.
Everyone is saying that.
Yeah.
And people are saying, why are you giving out when hospitals need money and...
Oh, yeah, but you see, Joe, you'll get that from people. You'll get people that'll say, the arts, sure, look.
Well, what's the answer? What's the response, Paul?
The first people to come to us if they need fundraising done for the hospitals. You know, the
good
arts
point.
Are the people
that are
the people that are out there fundraising regularly. You often see programmes. On the first lockdown, we had a number of programmes on television of artists performing to lift the spirits of people. You know, that's what we're there for. Just get up and sing a few songs. But can we get paid? No.
But just on that point, how do you justify 58 people with 5 million? Like, I thought this was a restart grant. When the nightclubs and nightlife and events in general and festivals start back up, I thought that money was to go towards
that. You'll have to get back to level.
Well, no, that's a different scheme. The startup grant is a different scheme. Adaptation grant.
But also, there's no guidelines.
Pat Jennings, what level do you have to get back to before you can reopen with restrictions?
Well, level three. We would normally do 150 live shows for the year.
Yeah.
And what we've applied for is something like 16 shows to take us up to the 31st of December.
But I'm saying, what level of the five levels, five tiers, and the pathway to freedom, so to speak, where would you, we're at level five at the minute, where do we have to be before
the Royal Theatre can reopen? The capacity, like on level three, my capacity is 50 people.
Like, Joe, there hasn't been guidelines given by the government as to when the theatre is going to open. That's what we've all been crying out for.
The only guideline I heard was Tony Holland saying, if by the end of this month, if the cases are down to less than 100 a day nationally, we can go down a level or two.
Yes, we can, but like, it depends on the capacity for your venue. Like, I have 2,000 people and it's only allowed 50 people.
Why?
Because that's the licensing.
That's the license at the moment.
I have to pay for a dance license for the full year. I have four dance licenses for the one venue, and they won't let me dance.
And then the cost, Joe, that Pat would have to go to in order to implement all the safety procedures that are required, whether it's perspex or whether it's, you know, sanitised, all those small little things that nobody kind of pays much attention to, costs a fortune for the likes of restaurants, pubs, venues to put in. You know, if you were to turn around to the Helix and say, open the Panto in December, but only 50 people in, well, how do we get the 50 people into the venue by social distancing and seating apart? And all of those things have to be taken into consideration. And they all cost money. How to monitor that, how to get it. There doesn't seem to be any guideline in how we'll go about bringing the arts back. Even if they bring it down to level three again, you know, what? How do you run a panto on 50 people?
Okay, well, it looks like with a few exceptions, I know there's going to be smaller pantos on, but again, smaller venues mean less people again if we get back to level three.
Yeah,
but
it's financially not viable. At the end of the day, look, me as a solo singer, be delighted to have 50 people at a gig. You know, you can take 50 people or you can find 5,000. You're just delighted to be gigging. And that's fundamentally where everybody wants to get back to working. Nobody in the arts is looking for the PUP. We all want to be out there working. We've had a life of it. We know how to struggle. We know how to get by. Nobody in the arts has ever looked for much. And we're just looking to get back.
Okay, Paul Byrne, Claire Tighe, both of the... Well, Paul is a well-known performer in his own right, but does star in the Helix Panto every year. Pat Jennings from the Royal Theatre in Castlebar. Emma Cleary from Party House Promotion, the Cleary Media. Thank you all. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Bianca, if you'd, apparently it's Catherine Martin is the Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaelic, Sport and Media. But the department she's in is not the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaelic, Sport and Media. She's in the Department of Culture, Heritage and the Gaelic. Okay, God, how much does that letterheading cost us to change? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Statement re live performance scheme. 5 million euro in allocations under the pilot live performance support scheme. Part of the government's July stimulus was announced yesterday to assist commercial promoters and producers to employ artists, musicians, performers, technicians, other support staff in live performances to the end. There was excess demand, as you can understand. Each application under the pilot was assessed, and the department under the pilot, the scheme, I presume, was assessed, and the department engaged external expertise to assist in the assessment process. While the department cannot comment on individual applications, each applicant will receive feedback from the department on their application. A coalition of independent music venues which have received allocations under the pilot scheme have welcomed today's announcement in social media and elsewhere as a vital support. Where's Una Malai, chairperson of Live Venue Collective? Your point, please, Una.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Start by saying fair play to Sarah. What an absolute legend. But we're a collective of independent live music venues across the country. We're 23 venues that are small businesses. We have pubs attached to us, some of us, but we have a performance space that's separate, and we are our focus is on ticketed gigs and has always been. Some of these places have been handed down from generation to generation.
So how many of your venues applied for
Applied as a collective as 23 venues.
And how many got grants?
We all got grants as a collective. And
on average, insofar as you can work out, on average, what was the grant compared to the application percentage-wise?
95%. But what we did was we applied as a large group that's very equally spread regionally. So we're spread from West Cork all the way up to Donegal. We're small businesses.
So you got 95%. All of your applicants got a grant and you got 95% of what you asked for.
Yeah, but that grant is it's not that. It's that the funding was specifically to go towards employment days, to employ crew, musicians,
people that
we have built relationships over years and years.
Totally, absolutely, and sounds brilliant.
On the department's point, from the department's point of view, in terms of getting money into the pockets of people who haven't worked since March, you know.
But a lot of people say the other elements of it weren't sensible. Of course, you would say it's sensible because you got 95%, rightly so, and all your venues got a grant. But in terms of the department, did you get to meet the department before you were allocated the money?
Yeah, I mean, we lobbied very hard and worked very hard.
I'm brilliant. There's nothing wrong with this. I'm just trying to help other organisations. Did you get to meet the department before the allocation?
Yes, they spent time hearing and understanding how our sector works and how the industry works.
Maybe that's what happened to the pantomime group, and that they didn't meet and explain the uniqueness of pantomime. I know the unique nature of everything. Maybe that's what happened to circus people, that they didn't manage to get a meeting. They didn't get a penny either.
Well, the thing is, we're all very viable businesses that are going to continue on and on, hopefully beyond this, and employ people.
Yeah, okay. And did you hire any professional help to navigate the terrain of civil service and government departments? Do you follow me, Una? Okay.